From Knoxville, Tennessee, I'm Zach Bowman.
From Long Beach, California, I'm Michelle Naranjo.
From Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Jeffrey Ross.
From Romeo, Michigan, I'm Craig Cole.
And I'm producer Ben Sanders, this week in Flint, Michigan.
This is Roundabout.
Welcome to Roundabout, Episode 2, our weekly chat covering car culture, vehicle reviews, and some of the auto news you may have missed.
Every week, we trek through the unexplored wilderness of the internet in search of a cohesive, zen-like theme. We find all kinds of different topics and news bites to fit that theme, however convoluted they may be. And just like Rosie O'Donnell trying to cram herself into a size 3, whatever's left over, we squeeze it into the discussion anyway. Because we like feeling good about ourselves. I mean, because we want to. So welcome to another edition of Roundabout, everyone. Episode number 2, no less. And, you know, in case you didn't realize, this is a very important milestone for us. Chew on this for a second. Right now, we're doubling the number of episodes we've done. Never again will we be able to do that with just one episode. I think that's kind of a big deal. I don't know about you guys, but...
It's round about it's, the redemption is what it is.
Yeah. So, first off for today's show, I'd like to mention that we have an award winner among us. Michelle, why don't you tell us about the trophy you recently snagged yourself?
Oh, I don't know if this is something that I'm very proud of. I know my mom's very proud of me for this, but I went to a go-karting tournament this week that BF Goodrich was hosting to launch their community, nationofgo.com. And they had the BF Goodrich, you know, team there racing alongside a bunch of us enthusiasts. And, you know, I was that kid that when my mom said, don't eat the cookies, I didn't eat the cookies. They told me to not bump. Right? I mean, they say that, don't bump. And so never having carted before, I went, okay, I won't bump anybody. And I got the award for being the most cautious driver. But mind you, I wasn't the slowest. I was like in the middle of the heat of about 30 people. But I was the nicest.
Just imagine if you were tearing it up, driving like someone in Michigan. I mean, you'd have been first place if you were in the middle of the pack.
That's why I don't know if it's so much of an honor because, you know, it's like being Miss Congeniality in a bitch war. I really should have thrown down.
So what was BF Goodrich doing? What was the event called again? And why were they doing it? What's it supposed to do?
They've launched a very interesting community. I was a little skeptical going into it, the idea of everyone starting these communities to sort of wrestle the enthusiasts away from their own forums. But what they've done is they've created a platform that it's nationofgo.com. And you can go in, create your profile, and upload your rides. There's an iPhone app and a BlackBerry app, and you can start the app. And it will actually start... using GPS to track your drive. And if you take video or pictures along the way with your smartphone, it will upload those and pinpoint them on a map. You can have clubs and events in there. It's so rich with opportunity, and they've just sort of opened it up with this big gift to the, they're considering 50 million gearheads are potential users.
Well, that is a big audience if they could tap into it.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. So, I mean, you know, it's always been my dream to win an award like that, Michelle. I'm kind of jealous of you. And by the picture, looking at it, it's got a giant turtle on there.
Yes. It's kind of,
but you weren't the slowest.
You'd think that would be an award reserved for the slowest person. That's what I was thinking you won it for.
I know.
The only thing I've ever won for my driving is just stern looks from my neighbors. I mean, so you should be pretty thrilled about that.
Well, you recently won a citation, didn't you?
Yeah, well, thanks for bringing that up, Craig.
Hey, I try.
Yeah, that actually just came to pass. We just got out of court for that, so I'm looking at handing over $200 to the fine folks of Blount County.
Blount County?
Blount County, Tennessee. That's where the infamous dragon is housed.
Okay. That's an awful name for a county.
It is. If you're going to go visit the dragon, kids, don't speed. They're for serious.
The only award I've ever won for The only award I've ever won for driving was being named my high school's worst driver for my senior year.
Oh, no.
And you're an automotive journalist.
Yeah, which only goes to show I was meant to be an automotive journalist.
Oh, man. So, you know, okay, it's been my dream to win an award like that, which ties in nicely with this week's theme, which is In Your Dreams. You know, the Frankfurt Motor Show kicked off last week, and oh my God, there was a ton of stuff there. Plenty of oohs and quite a few ahs. Ha ha ha.
Yeah, that, I see what you did there.
It took him all night.
I was up until 9 this morning working on this, refining it, and you guys are pissing on my glee. Anyway, the first story, the first topic on our list here is something that truly is worthy of dreaming, of is dream-worthy. It's the Bugatti, and pardon Galabier. My French here, Galabier. No.
Way to Americanize
it. Beer?
It's the Galabier, y'all. No, it's what is it? The Gabalier, I think? Something like that. Right.
I think you put your B before your
yeah,
L.
I think it's Galabier.
Galabier.
Where's Michael when you need him?
Yeah,
I know.
Galley.
He lives next to Quebec. You gotta know.
Bugatti's execs are wincing in pain right now. That's all I know.
Well, we'd be lucky if they were listening.
It's true. They can wince all they like.
Yeah. So this is like their four-door supercar. You know, they've got the Veyron, which is like nuts, million-dollar car. And this is like kind of a four-door version of it. And looking at the pictures, it's pretty cool looking. It's got this beautiful two-tone body. It's a dark blue, like carbon fiber. And it's got these big polished aluminum panels that go on the hood and on the sides of the car. I think it looks pretty sweet. I don't know what you guys think.
My favorite part of the whole car is the hood, like the dual wings to get to the engine.
Oh yeah, I didn't really notice that at first.
I mean, that's awesome, but at the same time, it kind of makes me wince. You know, not for anybody who will ever own this vehicle, but for the poor bastard who has to change the oil. You know, I mean, they came up with those split hoods way back in the 20s or 30s or whenever, and they look awesome, but at the same time, God helps you if you have to do anything under the hood, and that's why they got rid of them.
Is that really why they got rid of them?
Yeah, I mean you know, it's God help you if you have to take out the if you know you have to pull the engine for whatever reason, the whole front clip of the car has to come off, which in the 30s was no big deal. It was like what, 3 bolts or something.
Yeah, and the chrome bumper comes off, and then you've got access to everything.
But with this, you know, I'm sure there are, you know, 75,000 hand-hewn stitches to pull first or something.
Yeah. Michelle, what do you make of those aluminum body panels on the side? That is distinctive.
Are they aluminum or are they chromed? Because it reminds me of the R8 that was at Frankfurt, the mirror finish R8, which just kind of makes me chuckle. I mean, it's like a big fun. It's a moving fun house, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I'm not really sure, like, what is the line going up the middle of the windshield? Because I know that cars generally tend to be symmetrical, but why?
it's an actual split windshield. I think it's an actual two-piece glass windshield, which I guess also, you know, is a shout-out to the older cars of the 30s, I guess.
Yeah, it's the article says it is polished aluminum, so there you go.
It kind of looks like the didn't they make a chrome Veyron not too long ago?
They did, in fact.
I know they had a gold-plated Mercedes SLS or something. That looked awful. But I actually like that polished aluminum with the dark blue. I'd look good in that car, I think.
You would.
Well, thank you.
It's no Grand Marquis, but, you know, it's as far as sedans go, it's all right.
No, it's got some style to it.
I do like how they kept the aggressive looks of the Veyron and without, you know, distorting it too much by stretching it out.
And they say it's got, I'm pretty sure this is the same engine as in the Veyron, and maybe you guys can correct me, an 8-liter W16. I mean, it's probably got as much power as the Saturn V rocket that, like, you know, landed Apollo 11 on the moon, I would think.
But it's green, you know, it runs off of ethanol.
Exactly, exactly. And it, what's the top speed is estimated at 217 miles an hour. Holy crap. That's
I'd hate to
fast.
Think of the acres of corn you're burning through at that speed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, moving along here, the next topic on our list here is the Audi, the e-tron concept that they showed at Frankfurt. Why? That's all I've got to say is why. Everybody's moving to electrics in the industry, obviously, but why did Audi decide to put this on their supercar body, you know, build their first electric vehicle on the R8? What the hell? That's like backwards. What do you make of that, Jeff? Is that...
Well, I guess if you go big or you go home, I mean, you know, Ford's coming out with the Focus electric car. Why not make an electric supercar like the Mercedes SLS? But the ironic thing I found about this car is it came just days after their North American president said the Volt and other electric cars are pretty much for idiots.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very good marketing, if you ask me.
Not at all. And the name. What were they thinking?
Oh, come on, E-tron? I love the e-tron. Come on. Tron's one of my favorite movies. Are you kidding me?
They could have called it the R8 Electric, the Eco Cruiser, or something, but e-tron, what does it mean?
You know, at first, you know, when I saw this thing, I was pretty ticked. The coolest thing about the R8, especially the 5.2 FSI, is the engine. You know, you just have this awesome, you know, pedestal to internal combustion glory. And when they stripped it of that and put in a bunch of electronics, I was kind of heartbroken. But it makes 3,319 foot-pounds of torque.
Which is that all?
Yeah, that's almost 1,000 more foot-pounds than an A1 Abrams tank.
Well, that's probably like 1,500 more pound-feet than you actually need, you know?
Well, sure, but, you know,
my
if you wanted
Focus
thinks
about that much.
If you wanted to pull your house around, you could, theoretically.
Yeah. You could pull, you know, a neighborhood around, probably. Just uproot it and drag it to work if you need it.
And of all the Audi R8s for Michael to criticize about being ugly, why couldn't he be around this week to criticize this thing?
It's true.
He's afraid.
He hates
where is
the
Argo, gotta... by the way? Michelle, he mentioned something to you, didn't he?
Yes, he did tell me where he is.
Okay.
Is it lady involved?
Is this not PG?
I think the term is getting lucky.
Oh, okay. Well, congratulations.
See where his priorities are. Right?
We could only hope he's listening in.
Oh, goodness. He's
who's watching the cat?
Wow. So, okay. Our next topic, shifting gears here, is quirky, is weird, is just plain crazy, if you ask me. It's the electric Trabant NT, another car that debuted at Frankfurt. And
I love that car.
What do you love about it, Michelle? I actually like it myself. I think it's kind of cool. It's like a back to basics type electric
Absolutely.
Vehicle.
Absolutely.
Well,
it definitely has that.
Tell us what the original Trabant was and what the story is behind that. I'm not familiar.
The original Trabant is like an Eastern European version. You could call it of the Model T. It was an affordable small car that I believe it was built in East Germany. Mm-hmm. Correct me if I'm wrong, guys. And it was their version of the Model T. It was affordable transportation for everyone. Although you had like a 15-year waiting list to buy one, but that's neither here nor there.
It's to trade in all of your bread coupons for that, basically.
Yes. Yes. So this is like an electric concept version, I guess, a next generation of the car. And what do you like about it, Michelle?
I think it's kind of funny that they didn't really put themselves out there design wise.
Mm-hmm.
And it is just so basic and it's not even retro because they've never changed the design. I just put a link on the chat of a modded Trabant. But I think it's really a cute look, and it's interesting because most of the car manufacturer designer guys are like so excited with electric because they can, it's literally changing the way that they're able to design cars. And these guys went, no, we just want to get the electric engine in our car.
Mm-hmm.
They're happy with that design, which I think it's a cute design.
Yeah, it's kind of Mini reminds Cooper-ish. Me of the Clubman.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yes, very Clubman.
And they say it's going to sticker for around €20,000, which is in real money about $29,000. That's kind of a lot, I guess, for a small car, but less than the Volt. And it's kind of cool looking compared to the Volt. Different.
And I like the name, too. It sounds like you're stuttering. Trabantant.
What do you think about this thing, Jeff? They ever going to bring it to the U.S.?
I think it'd be a good alternative. I mean, you look at the Nissan Leaf. It just seems like everyone's going their own direction. So you know, this is a car that most people in America have never seen or heard of. I'd never heard of it before this. So I think it's a good idea. It's a cute little car, all electric. I guess it would kind of depend, too, on the specifics about it. But, you know, in terms of design, I kind of like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they say it's going to have a lithium-ion battery pack with a range of 150 miles per charge with a top speed of about 70 miles an hour. And that's really pretty good if they can pull that off, you know? Because what's the Volt? The Volt is supposed to go, what, like 40 miles, is it?
Yeah.
I mean, granted, yeah. That's not a pure EV, but...
Yes, it is.
Well, no.
It runs in pure EV mode, but mm-hmm. it's a series hybrid, right?
But technically, it's an EV. It's an EV that uses a generator to boost some of the engine instead of an electric hybrid that pairs them both together.
Well, I believe they call it a range-extended electric.
Yeah.
Because it has the gas engine that can recharge the batteries if need be, if you exceed the 40-mile range. But I don't know if they consider that a true EV. I don't know. But more news from Frankfurt. This ties in with our theme, In Your Dreams, again. It's more of a nightmare, really. And it's a concept that the French automaker Peugeot showed off. It's called the BB1, and I am at a loss for words with this one. It's a compact car. It's supposed to bridge the gap between electric scooters and cars, but it looks so weird. I mean, it's got to be the weirdest looking thing I've seen this year, if not ever. Makes the Aztec look nice. And Jalopnik went so far as to call it a flying fetus. and I agree. I mean, the design looks so premature, and I think the company needed a little more time to gestate it. But honestly, it probably should have just been aborted to avoid this visual distortion. And all right, I'm sorry. That's enough baby jokes right now.
The doors alone are enough to... Suicide doors and they're huge.
I filed this one under the, you know, I'd rather just walk category, you know.
it's like they just scribbled something on a paper and then used that as the silhouette of the car, you know, the side design. It's just, why? What were they thinking? Are they trying to break new ground or something?
I mean,
it's almost like they designed it backwards.
Yes.
Because if you look at the windshield, it looks like that should be the back of the car.
Kind of.
At one point, they designed the doors to go normal and the windshield to go normal, and then they said, "Uh-oh, we ran out of room to put the motor. Let's switch this thing around."
The best part is the blazing 20 horsepower at its disposal. You know,
20 horsepower. What did they say? 0 to 19 miles an hour in 2.8 seconds. Holy crap. I wonder what it's going to do in the quarter mile. I mean, would it run out of battery before it got to the end? I mean, I can't imagine it would be
How do you think this
looks very, very dark?
Yes, only if Peugeot has anything to say about it.
And look at the interior. It doesn't even have a steering wheel. It's got like weird handlebars or something. It's like Star Trek or something.
A lot it's like of the spaceship the from Independence Day.
What's that, Michelle?
A lot of concepts are having those different type steering wheels. The Lincoln C concept has doesn't have a steering wheel. It has like a piloting cockpit type handles.
More of a tiller. Maybe we're seeing the old steering tiller is coming back. Wouldn't that be cool? Or not?
You gotta wonder if any of that stuff's any more intuitive than a steering wheel, you know? I mean, maybe it's more bicycle. I don't know. It hurts me to look at. That's
yeah.
let's move on because this is, like I said, a nightmare and
it's painful to look at.
It rapes your cornea every time you look at it. let's change gears and move on to our next topic, which is an attainable dream car, if you will.
Almost.
Better hurry.
Yeah. Yes, you'd better hurry because the Pontiac G8 GXP, it's reported that there are only 70 of them left in the U.S. So if you want one, you'd better go get one now or forever hold your peace because 70 are going to be gone.
It's true. I was actually looking over my notes. I talked to a GM rep not too long ago, and he said that the only 6-speed manual version is on the East Coast is in New Jersey. So there's only one in 6-speed manual on the East Coast. Otherwise, you're going to have it shipped or fly to it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's disappointing that they built so few 6-speed manuals. Well, they might have sold out of them first. I don't know.
Possibility, I guess.
But I would bet they built like 90% automatic and then 10% manual because Americans kind of lazy for changing their own gears, you know. But that's a topic for another discussion entirely.
I love that car so much.
Yeah. It's a hot car to be sure. I haven't driven the GXP. I've been in the regular G8, and that's a fine machine. Isn't
like
that right,
Michael,
Ben?
I've had.
Oh, go on, Michelle.
I was going to say, like Michael, I've had big problems with the Camaro, and I think that GM always took it personally that I was dissing the Camaro. But then. Mm-hmm. There was a guy on Twitter that asked me one day about the Camaro because he was literally getting ready to go to the lot to buy one. And I saw it come in on my phone and I sent him a message and I said, drive the G8 GXP first. And that guy seriously sends me a message every day and tells me thank you.
Well, that's a cool story.
You know, talking about those two cars, I just thought, why wouldn't they just bring the GXP engine and everything over to the Camaro and make a new Z28. How cool would that be?
Well, isn't that what they're doing? I mean, it's got the 6.2 liter V8.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought they just had the 6.0 SS right now.
I thought it was a 6.2. Zach, do you know?
I don't know. I know it makes, you know, 430 horsepower.
It's more than the GXP.
Yeah. I mean, it's a bucket load of oomph.
It's got some serious giddy up when you give it the spurs.
It does. But the Camaro doesn't have four doors or, you know, a sizable trunk that you can actually put things in. So.
Yeah, our producer Ben here, he actually has a G8 and he loves it. Don't you, Ben?
It's my favorite car.
That didn't sound enthusiastic.
I'll tell you what, I love the car. I really do, despite its problems. I've had numerous quality issues since I got it, and it was used. So I'll grant them that. But when I got it, the electric mirrors did not work, nor did the power locks, at least from the center console switch. Both control arms have had to be replaced, and it looks like they're going to have to be replaced again because they're making noise already. So,
I don't know if that's true to the Pontiac legacy.
Yeah, I don't know if that's an isolated thing, but when it works well, I absolutely love that car. I love it more than any other car I've ever owned.
What year has it been?
It's a 2009.
You're kidding me.
Yeah.
How many miles did it have on it when you picked it up?
It had just over 12,000. It had like 12,200 or something.
These stories like that make me love our Subaru more every day.
So, well, also, I wanted to mention,
sorry to be the downer. Yay,
Boat Anchor Ben dragging us down. So what were you going to say, Michelle?
Oh, I accidentally, when I was driving it for a review last year, I was one of the first people, to get to drive it last summer, and I accidentally had to fill out an accident report with GM because I backed into a fence.
Wait, did the fence, like, jump out in front of you, or?
No, I was just rolling out of my back parking area and managed to back into the chain link fence across the alley.
Had you been drinking at the time?
No.
So it's your fault there's no GXPs in the press fleet.
Exactly.
Thanks a lot, Michelle. Appreciate it.
Them journalists just can't handle all this power.
Backing out of their parking space.
I don't know if any of you have ever had an accident in a review car, but the insurance process that you have to go through is really funny because you have to answer a huge list of questions of how fast you were going, what the road conditions were, who the other people involved were. And mine was just kind of mortifying because it was literally, I backed into a fence.
How much damage did the car receive?
It was a scratch in the bumper. It was, okay. You know, it's a big old plastic covered bumper. So it just went down to the white and the red from the red.
Okay. Wow. That's too bad. So, if you're on your bicycle, you're riding your bike or something, Michelle is around backing up, get the hell out of the way.
Exactly.
Word of advice.
I need that backup screen.
Yeah. Well, all right, guys. I think that'll just about do it for our discussion topics today. So I think this is a good time to take a short break and hear a few words from one of our generous sponsors. After that, we'll get into our blind spot story of the week, and then, you know, we'll also talk about what we've been driving, you know, and a whole lot more.
Did you hear that? That's the comforting sound of my Safety Streak wipers with the patent-pending Safety Streak. That horrible squawking lets me know my Safety Streak windshield wipers are smearing away rain and road grime, giving me milky clear visibility. Don't settle for less. Just pay less and smudge away higher prices with Safety Streak windshield wipers. Remember, when you hear the shriek, you know it's a Safety Streak.
That's right, Safety Streak wipers with Safety Streak technology are the only ones on the market right now that let you know they're working and working hard to keep you safe. Safety
True
Streak
innovation.
Is what?
True innovation right there, sir.
Absolutely. You know, Safety Streak is always on the smearing edge of wiping technology, which is why I want to mention that they're coming out with another groundbreaking feature, ChatterGuard. Are you tired of replacing worn-out windshields that have gone bad long before their time? Well, now you can avoid those costly repairs with the newest wiper from Safety Streak. Using a patent-pending skip action, Safety Streak with ChatterGuard dramatically reduces windshield wear. The less time the wipers touch the glass, the less damage they do, which saves you money. But Safety Streak wants to save you even more. Just visit their website, safetystreak.com, and enter the promo code ROUNDABOUT for a 50-cent discount coupon good towards your next purchase of 5 or more Safety Streak wipers. Okay. Back on task, it's time for our blind spot story of the week. When news topics go unnoticed, are underreported, or otherwise fall off the radar, they land in our blind spot. Today's story of the week is all about tragedy and the snowball effect. So, this story is, like I mentioned, tragic and probably very preventable. A family was traveling in a Lexus ES350, and there was a problem with the floor mat, and they ended up crashing, and everybody died. So, not a very happy story, but, you know, maybe they could have done something different before things got out of hand. the dealer that loaned them the car, apparently they put the wrong floor mat in there, and it got caught between the gas and the brake. The car got up to like 120 miles an hour and went over a curb or something, a ditch, and then burst into flames. What do you guys think of this? Jeff, have you ever seen anything like this? Heard anything like this before?
I've heard of the floor mats getting stuck underneath the pedals and it makes it hard to stop. Mm-hmm. But if it jammed up and still got caught on top of the accelerator pedal, you just hit the brake or turn the car off. I don't understand how it got to the point that it did, mm-hmm. but it is a tragedy. It's sad to hear.
Absolutely. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is, oh, I can't stop the car. I should try putting it in neutral, you know? That would have probably prevented this entirely, because your car is not going to get up to 120 miles an hour at the drop of a hat. Well, unless you have an R8 or something, but your Lexus ES350 isn't going to hit a buck 20. It's stupid.
Yeah, it's just I think it's more driver error than it was dealer error. I mean, mm-hmm. it might have been the wrong floor mat, but still, you got to know what to do and certain conditions to save your life.
I was unaware that Lexus started putting 5-inch shag carpet floor mats in there.
That's what it sounds like. I mean,
the technology aspect of, you know, the, well, he could have held down the start button for 3 seconds, but then he wouldn't have had power steering or power brakes, or he could have shifted to neutral like at some specific moment. I mean, it's almost like technology got a little bit in the way, and it's driver error, but then also training. I mean, who would have known to hold the start button for 3 seconds? I don't think I knew that.
I mean, it's kind of ironic that you get killed by safety features, you know, all this stuff that prevents you from hurting yourself or shifting into park when you're driving on the freeway or something. I mean, that could have saved them in this instance, but instead they died.
Let's do
exactly. And you know, I'm if they were driving a stick, a manual transmission, it would have been obvious. Oh, just step in on the clutch. There you go. You're all done. Or shift into neutral. It would have been common sense. Do you guys think that as the automatic transmission has become more and more popular in the United States, that we've lost some of our like driving abilities? Is that something, Zach? Do you think?
I don't know if it's driving abilities, but I definitely think that people aren't really as aware of what's going on with their vehicle when they shift it into park or gear or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't surprise me if the person driving the vehicle didn't realize that if you put it in neutral, you know, it's going to slow down. Or, you know, maybe they didn't even know what the in on the console meant, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't surprise me. That's the reason I say that. I was coming back from eating the other evening, and there was a guy in a new Lexus SUV. I don't even remember which one it was. No lights on whatsoever. Guy had no clue that the lights were off. And I assume that it's, you know, it was just because he was accustomed to the vehicle turning the lights off and on automatically. You know, I think a little bit of human interface there goes a long way, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
damn kids don't take responsibility for their actions.
Well, the article says a police officer was driving the car, which makes it even worse because you'd think that they would have some sort of, you know, formal car, you know, training to be able to handle a Crown Vic. I mean, handle a police cruiser to be able to drive that thing fast and catch the bad guys. You think they would have had some common sense, but overall, it's a pretty tragic story, and it should have never happened. But what can you do?
Shift to the neutral.
The odd thing is they even made a call from the car to 911.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
They had time to call
911 and say, my car is out of control, and no one in the car thought to put it in neutral. No one on the other end of the line said put it into neutral.
They didn't even think of taking their feet off the brake or the gas pedal and just letting the car coast, you know? Because if the car, I'm trying to hit the brakes and the car keeps accelerating. Maybe if I stop trying to hit the brakes, you know, it'll slow down again.
You think it was stuck in conjunction with the brake?
Well, that would make sense if they were trying to stop the car and the floor mat could have been bunched up underneath the brake pedal to stop it from working, mm-hmm. but the car wouldn't hit 120 miles an hour then. It would still have to be on the gas, I would think, to make the car accelerate that fast, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's a tragic story. It never should have happened. And hopefully our roundabout listeners, our audience, will never have to experience anything like this now that they've heard this story. But, so if you're out there listening and something goes wrong, put the car in neutral.
But first off, check those mats.
Yeah.
Because
yeah. Yep.
Who would have thought?
Make sure you don't have like a carpet remnant under there that's going to get all caught up in everything.
Makes you wonder how safe those Muammar Gaddafi rugs would be that Michelle liked so much in last week's
right?
show.
The Berber rugs.
That's right. So anyway, on a happier note, let's shift gears now and talk about what we've been driving, what we've had in the garage this week. All right, guys. Couple cool vehicles that we've had around lately. Ben, why don't we start off with you? You had some seat time in Cadillac's awesome new CTS V series.
Yes.
Why don't you tell us what you thought about that?
Give us very brief seat time, but man, I want that car. Everything my broken down G8 is not. And you guys know I'm the one non-car guy among this group, but man, I know that's a good car. And it's so smooth, you know. Comparing it to the G8, you can mash the gas on that, and it's got a lot of torque, and it just will, like, squeal off the line. The CTS-V, you do the same thing, and it's a more elegant way that it deals with it. I mean, it's just, like, this smooth. It goes damn fast, but it's just and this beautiful hum from the engine. Pulling up in a drive-thru, it's just nice. Like, you're just idling. You just get this nice little rumble, you know, echoing off the drive-thru wall, you know. It's like, wow,
I want that car. There's a lot of power under that hood.
Yeah,
and
when I first saw it at the auto show, you know, in terms of styling, I mean, it's not much different, but they've changed the front. You know, it's got the
mesh.
It's got the wire mesh that the Cadillac Vs have always had, except we noticed when we looked close on this one, it's not real mesh anymore. It's plastic.
Hmm. Cop out.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. For such a nice car, it's surprising they would skimp on that. Now, in the back, there is real metal mesh, I think. But on the grill, it's plastic.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I thought was odd when I saw this originally at the show was, you know, the new CTS had that big giant grill that went all the way down. And they got rid of that for the V version. I don't know if it didn't look good when you put the mesh in there. It was, like, too obtrusive or what. But I don't know. After driving the car, I can let that one go.
You commented that you really liked the interior as well. And that's always been a strong suit of the current version of the CTS, I think. I think it's stunning the way it's kind of swoopy but angular, and it looks nice.
Yeah.
But they kind of spiced it up a little bit, didn't they, for the V?
You know, I don't know what the exact differences are,
mm-hmm.
but I mean, I know this one had this nice suede steering wheel.
Mm-hmm.
I just overall like the design of it. I don't know how, I could not tell you how different it is from mm-hmm. the just stock Cadillac CTS, but you know, I was comparing it to the 7 Series, BMW 7 Series that we had been in a week prior. And yeah, that's nice inside. And they're not the same car, not the same class, but it's just, you know, it's very nice inside in the BMW. It's very luxurious, but just plain. And this CTS, you get in it, and man, it's got edge.
It's like warm and inviting. The German car is this cold, like block of steel or something, right? That's the feeling I get.
Yeah,
when you compare the two.
But it just, the CTS has attitude inside, you know? I mean, it takes some chances with its styling, which I really appreciate. I mean, it's a very cool car to drive.
Absolutely. Have any of you guys driven the V Series yet? Had any seat time?
I haven't.
I drove it for like 10 minutes at the Texas Motor Speedway last fall for the GM collection, but
okay.
I had the engineer who, the lead designer, he was riding shotgun, and they were very limited as to what we could do with the car, mm-hmm. So I didn't really get to feel too much about it. Acceleration was awesome.
It's got that supercharged, the 6.2 liter V8 from the Corvette ZR1. Which, correct me if I'm wrong, what, good for like 550 horsepower, something like that, 554, I can't remember exactly.
556, sir.
556. That is enough to get you to the grocery store.
It is. What really intrigues me is supposedly it's a detuned version of the mm-hmm. same motor that's in the ZR1. So I'm wondering exactly what you have to do to get it up to ZR1 spec. Like, I know it's technically a different motor, LSA and LS9, you know, mm-hmm. one's the Caddy, one's the Corvette. But it would be interesting to see, you know, just what it takes to bump up the horsepower on it. And I would imagine it's a little more than a supercharger pulley and maybe an ECU reflash, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the nice thing about a forced induction engine. You just do a couple small tweaks and you've got a shit ton of more power, you know. Mm-hmm. Michelle, you were going to say something a little bit earlier. Have you had time in the CTS-V or no?
No, I haven't. I haven't gotten any seat time in it, but it's just interesting because a friend of mine the other day was noting that the CTS has like absolutely no resale value, but the V they're expecting to actually hold for people, so it's actually an investment car. Yeah.
Why does the regular CTS not have good resale value? I would think it's a solid product. I would think it would do pretty well.
It's probably the difference between a regular, you know, a 6 Mustang and an 8, right?
Okay. It's just not as desirable or...
Yeah, I think it's performance. People want the higher performance cars.
Okay.
And not too long ago, we did a post where we asked people, you know, what would you keep, you know, of a car that's in production right now, what would you buy and hold on to forever? And I went with the CTS-V. I mean, it just seems like an awesome car, and it's, you know, cheap for what you're getting. I mean, it's a serious sedan, and you can get it with a manual.
Even better.
That's right.
Even better. So, all right, Michelle, you didn't drive the CTS-V, but our next vehicle, you did get some time in, and that's the Lincoln MKT with EcoBoost.
Yes, I went up to San Francisco and got to take the 1 and the 37 and all those windy roads from San Francisco through Half Moon
awesome.
Bay down to San Jose in it. I wasn't driving the entire time. I was paired with a radio host in Texas who is a speed demon. And,
oh, dear. Did you have your motion bag, your motion discomfort bag?
I have to say my first thought was, why am I not getting sick here? But it has so much anti-roll going on in it that in the design that it was actually a pleasant 100 miles an hour around 20 mile an hour curves.
100?
The guy was, he was going like, how fast do you think we're going? Oh, I don't know. 60? No, we're going 85. You know, things like that. It was.
How do people like that not die? How do they live past 20?
I'm usually not a good passenger either, and I'm more happy when I'm in the driver's seat, and I didn't feel any. Yeah, right. I didn't. Not that I really trusted the guy. I trusted this car. It felt amazing, and then when I drove it, it was an incredible experience. I mean, design wise, it's a little bit odd. It has that like.
I'd say controversial because. It's not, I wouldn't say it's bad looking, you know, but it's definitely distinctive. It doesn't look like anything else out there. And maybe once we start seeing them on the roads, I'll like it a bit more. But until then, I'm decidedly meh on the
exterior. I think it's just like when the Flex came out, since the MKT and the Flex are the same pretty much. Mm-hmm. When you first saw the Flex, a lot of people were hating on it, and now a lot of people like it after it's been on the road for a while.
I think this is really a Flex with a roly poly, Halloween outfit on.
Yeah, they share the same platform and engines and transmissions. So yeah.
Put a picture on the chat of the what I call the Hershey bar. Someone referred to me. It's Hershey chocolate brown, and they call it cinnamon. One of the most irritating things that I saw on the car was this. I saw it when I was behind another one. It's the second twit pick I just put up, and it's actually on that solid band of rear lights. They actually have a section that's red paint, and it's really obvious, and it looks strange on the road.
I have to see in the photo. It's a little hard to tell.
Yeah, but it's kind of hard to tell from that photo.
So what do you make of the styling, Michelle? Do you like it?
I love the interior. The exterior is just kind of, it's strange. I guess I could get used to it. I like the Flex body style better. This is sort of all over the place. I don't, they're trying to make it aggressive on the front, and then, I don't know.
Yeah. Zach, I know you've driven it as well. We were actually on the same event. We were driving partners when we drove it. What do you think of it, the MKT?
It's interesting. You're talking about the styling. Lincoln doesn't have a huge history of successful SUV crossover type things. And they tried to work in some of their classic styles from, or at least design elements from, say, the 60s, late 60s, early 70s. Including that little hip at the rear quarter back there, which is pretty nice.
That little kick up.
That's pretty nice. And the grill, it's big and bold, and I guess I can sort of get behind that. But it's not really designed to be a full-fledged three-row SUV. I mean, if you remember that poor guy tried to climb into the back and almost had his head cut off by the rear hatch, but
they say it has a third row, but
forget it.
The only thing that's going to fit back there is a legless toddler, because there is no room.
Right, but power. It's got plenty of power, and the all-wheel drive system's really nice. The transmission's really nice. So driveline wise, they did a smart job with it.
I'll tell you what, I loved the interior when I was in it. It was rock solid. They've got that beautiful stitched leather everywhere, real wood trim. The ergonomics are good. It's cleanly styled. It's just, it pushed all the right buttons for me. The interior
It's not what you'd expect from an American car maker. I mean, even a luxury car maker in the U.S. It was really nice.
And if you remember when Ford had let us drive them, they had an Audi Q7 there. Three-row SUV, and I liked the MKT interior better than the Audi, and they are always benchmarked for interior for their interiors. So that's a pretty big deal in my book, that a Lincoln will have a better dash and interior than an Audi. Plus, the EcoBoost engine was really sweet, powerful, smooth.
And pretty efficient, I mean, especially for a vehicle of that size and to be all-wheel drive.
So. Absolutely. Jeff, have you driven it yet?
I have not driven it. I drove the Flex EcoBoost not too long ago, and I was impressed with that. The styling of the MKT, I'm still on the fence about. I like the MKS, the new look that Lincoln's going with, but I think that the MKT is maybe too big for the styling. I'm definitely willing to try it out. It looks like a fun car to drive, so we'll see.
I think this
could be the car that would change the way that Lincoln gets perceived by a younger crowd. I don't think the MKS does that. I think that if somebody who's a speed freak wants to drive a car like that, they're going to get a Fusion Sport.
Yeah, the MKS is soft, too soft. It rolls around like a tennis ball, and I thought the MKT drove better than the MKS. But, yeah. We'll see what it does. I have to wait and see when more out on the road. But overall, a pretty good vehicle. So anyway, I think it's time to talk a little tech and move on to this week's auto gadget.
It scared the shit out of me, by the way.
And this is so our auto gadget DIY edition.
Yeah, Ben, you found this little tidbit for us. Ben's really into tech, by the way. He loves computers and whatnot. So he found this. It's a do-it-yourself fog light mod, and it's posted on the Dodge Charger forum. What is it? Chargerforums.com. And apparently this guy, he bought, some HID, high-intensity discharge, like aftermarket fog lights, and then he modified them so he could have this cool angel eye effect, which is they're on BMWs a lot. They're a little ring that glows inside the headlight. It goes around the bulb, kind of. It looks pretty cool when you see them at night. But he managed to get some parts that he scavenged from, I think it was eBay, and he made a pretty cool-looking mod, if you ask me. Zach, have you seen this before, or...?
Actually, I've seen something similar, not as well executed. I used to have a little Honda Civic, and one of the guys on the forum tried to do the same thing, only instead of using individual LEDs, he just used one LED. And, like on Venetian blinds, that little twirly thing.
I was telling Ben about this in the pre-show.
Yeah, and they just heated that up and then cut little notches in it so that it would refract the light.
Uh-huh.
And, it was the epitome of Kmart special. But, this seems to be done really well. I mean, these things are obviously purely cosmetic. They're not gonna improve your driving experience at all. And if you want to make your Charger look more like a BMW, have at it. But,
It's pretty cool, and I like it when people are handy like that, and they can craft their own stuff that's distinctive and not cobbled together with like masking tape and hot glue
and Venetian blind parts.
Yeah, exactly. Michelle, what do you think of this? You like the look? You like those angel eyes?
I'm not a really big fan of the bug eye look like that. I thought they remind me of the Pininfarina Rolls Royce that was unveiled at Pebble Beach last year, which was actually much more of a eye shape. And I don't know, they distract me for some reason when I'm looking at a car.
Interesting. Jeff, what do you make of them?
I think it'd be cool. I'd like to see them on the car, see if it really enhances the Charger's look at all. Mm-hmm. But overall, I think, it must have taken a lot of work to do this. So kudos to this guy for doing it.
Okay.
Well, maybe I'll try them on my Kia.
What is your Kia again, Michelle?
I have a Spectra.
What year is it?
2001.
Okay. Ooh. That's something.
I never drive it.
That's why it's something.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that'll do it for this week's Auto Gadget. And now it's time for...
Highway Hearsay, Tales from the Open Road.
This is Highway Hearsay, and our first Highway Hearsay, if I may add. It's a segment that's all about what we've seen out on the open road, from weird sightings to just the stupid things that people are doing. I happened to find this one. Earlier in the week, I was on my way home on my long commute from work, and I spotted a camouflaged Ford Edge. Jeff, you thought it was, I had meant actually camouflage, like military camo.
For some reason, that's the first thing that popped out to me. I'm like, that is odd, camouflage for hunting. on the Ford Edge.
Yeah, not quite that kind of camouflage. It's covered in the black, I don't know, fabric or whatever they use to hide stuff when they're, like, you know, working on it.
And I just put the next generation picture in the chat for you guys.
Is it in the chat?
Yeah.
Okay. I have to pop that open. Yeah, sorry, the photos are kind of crappy. My cell phone isn't an SLR, but you can see that it's a Ford Edge, and you can see that it's covered in white jelly beans. And not a whole lot to make of it. I couldn't see, like, the interior, if they redid that or anything. But, you know, it's a sighting. I saw it. Managed to get a picture. So,
I think this might be the new Lincoln version, MKX.
Really? What makes you think that?
Well, the wheels kind of look Lincoln-ish, and they're the same thing, so we won't be able to tell. But I think they're both getting redesigned.
And yeah, they've been out for a few years now, so they should be coming up on one of their refresh.
The slim headlights up front look Lincoln-ish to me. So,
yeah, I just assumed it was an Edge. The Edge and the Lincoln MKX are essentially the same vehicle.
Yeah.
But I saw the black door handles, which usually if the door handles are black, that's like a lower trim level of a vehicle. But, you know, the vehicle, I didn't notice at first, the vehicle is black, and then they painted those white blobs on there. So, it could very well be the Lincoln version. I don't know.
But that's one thing I miss about living in Michigan, getting to see all those cars driving around Dearborn and on the interstates and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our office is maybe 15 minutes from Ford World Headquarters, so we're always seeing something driving around. We're 25 minutes from downtown Detroit, probably a half hour from GM's Tech Center up in Warren, Michigan. I mean, we get to see all kinds of stuff here. Do you guys ever get to see anything like out in SoCal, Michelle? I know you've got a lot of Japanese OEMs that have like their North American headquarters out there. Do you see a lot of camouflaged cars or no?
You know, not too terribly many, and everybody's here. I mean, you know, where I am in Long Beach, I'm in between all of the manufacturers, with the exception of GM and Saab, who are out in the valley. And then they have their testing tracks out towards the desert. So occasionally, not as much as Phoenix, though, because, you know, they tend to take them out in the desert immediately for heat testing.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Zach? You're south of the Mason-Dixon line. Do you...
Way out in the middle of nowhere. I've actually seen, believe it or not, I've seen a handful of camoed vehicles, especially on I-81 for some reason. It runs north to south, you know, from Virginia to wherever it stops. And mostly Ford products. I saw, of course, I don't have any pictures of these, obviously, but before they rolled out the Raptor, I actually saw a camoed version of the Raptor and a couple of Lincoln Mercury Ford products. So, but other than that, nothing too much.
Yeah, you'd think you'd see more down there. There are so many nice roads up in the mountains.
That's true. And actually, yeah, Honda's spent a little, I haven't actually seen these myself, but Honda spent a little bit of time, especially up on the Parkway, the Blue Ridge Parkway over in North Carolina. So,
well, really good. All right, I think that'll just about do it for Roundabout this week. Michelle Naranjo, thanks again for putting up with, joining us today. You can find Michelle's handicraft at MissMotormouth.com as well as Carsala.com. Michelle, a pleasure as always.
Thanks.
You're very welcome. Jeffrey Ross, you can find his work at Autotropolis.com. You getting ready to post any big stories this week, Jeff? Anything interesting?
I'm hoping to check out the new Panamera from Porsche here shortly. I've been told that there's going to be some kind of grand opening for it. Up in Amelia Island, possibly. So I'm hoping to find out more about that and get some information, pictures, and words about it.
Yeah, that would be sweet. Love to see a story about that. And we can't forget about our resident freelancer, Zach Bowman. Your work is all over the internet. Where can people find you?
Well, right now you can probably find me at autofiends.com or blog.webridestv.com.
Okay. You working on anything big?
Nothing too exciting at the moment, I hate to say.
So. Okay. All right. Yeah, since you just lost your press fleet.
That's right. I got taken down a peg or two. I don't think the whole fleet got taken out. It just may be a while before I get work back into rotation. So.
Okay. Well, I hope that you get worked in again very shortly. And you're not stuck driving your, what is it, 71 Lincoln?
Hey, stuck? Come on. Let's not be crude. No, I actually sold the Lincoln. Well, I say sold. Actually, this is how I know I live in Tennessee, by the way. I traded my 1971 Lincoln Continental for an AR-15 rifle.
Why?
I can
Why
hear the shock in your voice, right? All right, so it's no secret. My wife and I picked up a new Subaru, new to us Subaru Forester 2.5 XT.
Okay.
And,
yeah.
You know, it's the most expensive vehicle we've ever bought, which I know how sad that is. And it was sitting outside. Well, we've got this tree that like spits magma or something onto the car.
Magma.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a volcano tree.
It is. It's fucking insidious. But anyway, so. The Lincoln's inside, and the car's, you know, worth dirt, essentially, right? So I put it up on Craigslist, will entertain any trades, because I have two cousins that just became 16. So I was like, you know, even if I get traded a 94 Neon, I can just give it to them. I'll be right with them. Well, this guy emails me, and he's like, I have an AR-15 rifle. And I was like, all right, you know, it's easier to store than a 71 Lincoln, you know? So,
wow.
Yeah, now I have an assault rifle, and the Lincoln's gone, and the Subaru's indoors.
I kind of feel that was an unfair trade, but...
It was. Well, I mean, yes and no. I mean, I don't have to deal with a Lincoln ever again. It's, you know, that car was such a fucking curse. Maybe we gotta start a segment called The Bowman Curse about my trials and tribulations of that fucking car. But I say that with love. I say that with... No, actually... A 78 International Scout. So,
Okay. A lot going down there in Tennessee then.
That's right.
Especially the volunteers.
Yeah.
That's good.
I'd also like to thank our producer, Mr. Benjamin Sanders, for making this live broadcast and the edited podcast possible. Ben, thank you as always.
You're welcome, Mr. Cole.
Thank you. Remember.
Sorry. I guess you hadn't scripted out a you're welcome.
Yes. you're throwing off my chi, Ben.
He doesn't actually mean it. It's just in the script.
Yeah, I don't want to thank you. It's just it's written down, so I've got to read it. So, remember, visit our website, roundaboutshow.com, for more great content throughout the week. There, you can get in touch with us. Just click on the Contact Us button at the top of the page. You can send us your questions, comments, concerns, or criticisms. You can even suggest story ideas. You can also follow us on Twitter. Just go to twitter.com/roundaboutshow. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast. Just search for us in the iTunes store. Anyway, thanks to all of you out there listening. Join us again next week as we circle the roundabout. We'll talk to you then.
Bye.
Toodles.
Sorry, Michelle. We forgot to tell you when to go on that. It's after you hear these two notes where it goes dun, dun, and then you can start talking over it. Hold on.
Okay.
Let me play a little clip for you.
Now.
That's when you would do it. After it goes dun, dun.
Okay.
All right.
Got it.
Craig, this is Roundabout.
I know.
All right.
Wait, the ding ding? I thought I waited for that, didn't I?